Well, good morning and happy new year. Oh boy, that's like ho-hum. Great to see everyone that came out this morning, and you made the right choice to start the new year off praising and worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A couple of announcements before we get started. Probably should save this for next week when Lilliquist and Masons are here, but for those of you that maybe didn't get the message, Mabel Ruth Mason was born on the 28th of December to Hannah and Noah. Everybody is happy, healthy, and doing great. Makes Noah and Hannah parents, and John and Amy Mason grandparents, and Earl and Carol great-grandparents. Not to mention all the Mason kids who are aunts and uncles. So just at the birth of one little baby, but it's so joyful to celebrate the birth of a new baby. And if you'd like to help out Noah and Hannah, there is an opportunity to help them with a meal train. For those of you who can remember back being first-time parents, or maybe it wasn't that long ago, the chaos that ensues once there's another member of the family, and especially if the husband's not a very good cook. That could be kind of a hard time. But if you want to help out, an announcement did go out about a meal train for them. This morning's schedule, we have our worship service and then Sunday school this morning, and then there's nothing this evening. Normally it would be a flock group, but because it's the first, we're going to save that for next week when everybody is back. Hopefully you've had an opportunity to sign up there in the back for your spiritual suntan. You know, in wintertime, it's hard to get a suntan, but we've got a better idea anyway. You can get a spiritual suntan, reading through God's Word, memorizing various passages, even the book of Colossians, many different opportunities. So let's be aware of that and dedicate ourselves to being exposed to God's Word more this year. There's also prayer booklets that went out into your mailboxes. Not only do we want to be in God's Word, but we want to pray for each other and for various ministries. So if you could complete those sooner rather than later. I know if nothing would ever get done if it weren't for the last minute, but please don't wait till then. And so Maria will not have so much work to do at the last minute as well. But complete those when you can. There's also information about the teens' next activity. Ladies have a gathering closer to the end of this month, the 26th. And teens that are here this morning, just remember Signs of Life Retreat coming up in February 17th through the 19th. So those are the announcements for this morning. Great to see everyone this morning, and let's look to the Lord at a time of prayer.
That was a good one-liner there, Brad. Nothing would get done if it weren't for the last minute. I've never heard anyone say that. Is that yours, or did you? No? Okay.
All right.
Personal philosophy. Got it. Well, Happy New Year. I don't know how you rang in the new year. I was like, okay, how am I going to do this? I want to do something special, so you're going to think, well, that's kind of interesting. But I started about 7 p.m., and I was reading commentaries. Sorry. Exciting, right? I made it till 11:45, and then I was like, okay, I got to go to bed. So I heard the fireworks in the Howards Grove area going off right at midnight, and then I hopped in bed, and I was gone. So I don't know how you did, but my kids were out. They were at the Masons, and Drew started feeling ill about like 7 p.m. So by 8 p.m., he was already home. Tony and Drew are both sick, and they're at home. Anyway, they tried to make it till midnight, but didn't. I see the Salopats back. Welcome back. All right, yeah, hopefully, right. No more illness. But a couple things that I want to mention here before we have our three foci for prayer. First, Noah Mason's installation service is today. So let's be in prayer for their family, for him in particular. It's a very exciting time. If I didn't have to be here, I would be there. I wish I could be there to see him installed in his new ministry. As you can tell, now we have a lot of the people back who are on this side, but then, you know, we've got some gone on this side, especially the Masons and Lilliquists. But excited for Noah Mason's new opportunity that the Lord has guided him to. Our Signs of Life retreat is in 2 weeks, so parents with teens, and it's teenagers, so age 13, but they even have young 20s that are there as well. So even if you know you are in your 20s and you're interested, check out Signs of Life. Talk to me or someone who knows about it. The Signs of Life retreat is an amazing, truly an amazing time. It is not only fun, but it is spiritually impactful in a great way. It starts on 2 weeks from now on Friday evening, and it's the payments due in 2 weeks. Oh, yeah, what am I saying? Payments due in 2 weeks. It starts not 2 weeks from now. It starts in February. First week, second week?
17th,
okay. February, see, I need Maria for everything. February 17th is when it begins, but it's a Friday night, and then it's all day Saturday, and then our group comes back on Sunday evening. Some groups stay until Monday, but I'm just telling you, when you go there, if you have the opportunity to go, you will be impacted spiritually in ways that you didn't realize you needed. So I really encourage parents and teens to consider that. That's down in Illinois, by the way. It's run by a consortium of churches just like ours, Bible churches in the IFCA. Want to mention one extra prayer request here, and that is for the Pitts family. So we all know Joel Pitts, his brother Justin, of course Jerry too, but his brother Justin has had pneumonia since December 21st. It's gotten so bad that he was actually admitted into the hospital last night. Joel texted me to let me know and to ask for prayer. So would you please pray for Justin that he'll respond to the medications, more specifically, that God will use those medications to bring him back to health. So pray for his physical as well as his spiritual needs. So Justin Pitts. Our person of the week this week is Steve Altman. And here are the requests that he wanted me to share with you. First, pray for his extended family salvation, nieces and nephews. And Steve was saying, you know, sometimes it can be really hard to know how to share the gospel with your relatives, especially those you're closer with who are not believers. And that is so true. So pray for wisdom and for boldness for Steve as he attempts to witness to them. Second, he wanted to thank the Lord for God's blessing. He said, I just don't deserve all the things I have, and I want to praise the Lord. And then third, pray for his wife's salvation. Okay, so she doesn't come to church. I think it would be correct to say she just doesn't want anything whatever to do with church, to do with the Lord, to do with the Bible. She doesn't want to hear people witnessing to her. She just really has thus far rejected salvation. Her name is Darla. Please pray that God will crack the hard shell of her heart and begin to draw her to himself. She is a lady who needs Christ, and Steve would love nothing more than to see her come to know Jesus as Savior. So pray for her. Our overseas servants of the week this week are David and Danielle. They're in Southeast Asia, that's all I'll say. I think you know who and they are better and where they are, but here are some things that Carol gave me from their most recent communication. They haven't had a normal in quotes, schedule since the motorcycle accident. If you remember, it was just, you know, something small hit a patch of gravel. David went down, and was there one daughter? Two daughters, yeah, on the back. So things have not been normal since that accident a couple of months ago. Pray for continued healing and for just the schedule of every day to normalize, to become stable. Challenges include keeping school moving, trying to do Christmas in a country where nothing can be outsourced and no one celebrates. There is no Christmas at all celebrated where they are. Okay, we know where they are. Pray for the ongoing process of getting permissions from the government regarding the business that they have. The mountain language and learning, the culture and the language is just constantly a challenge. Pray for them there. And then they didn't want to end with negatives, so they are seeing progress in all these areas. However, it takes a lot of effort to move each thing forward, even an inch. So let's pray for that and them. And then finally, our persecuted saint of the week this week is a 16-year-old boy, and you can see his picture there. He was from the country of Turkey. Maria and I and Beth just visited there, so this one, you know, is close to my heart. Wearing a cross necklace, and some boys asked him, "What are you wearing it for?" And when he said, "I'm a Christian," they proceeded to beat him up, and he lost his tooth. So let me read this for you. Turkey, the country, hosts the largest number of refugees in the world, around 4 million, mainly from Syria and also from Iraq and Iran. Numerous churches in Turkey minister to these refugees, one of which reported that a teenager from a family of Christian converts was recently assaulted. The 16-year-old boy was walking down a street wearing a cross necklace when some young Turkish men confronted him and insulted him for wearing the symbol of Christ's death. They asked him why he was wearing it, and when he responded, "Because I am a Christian," they began beating him. The attackers split the boy's lip and smashed one of his teeth up into his gums. So, Voice of the Martyrs helped the young man receive dental services to repair the damage, but this is so real. When we were in Turkey, we had, I believe it was 6 police officers guarding our service, 5 of them on the street level, and then one of them just in front of the door, 5 levels up in the building where we were. Very dangerous place to be if you were a Christian. So let's pray for the 16-year-old boy, for our overseas friends, David and Danielle, Steve Altman, and Justin Pitts. We'll also pray for the Masons as well on this glorious day for them. Lord, we truly want to take a moment out of this brand new year, in fact, a few moments, and honor you in prayer. We are here because of what you have done in our lives. Nothing deserved, but with hearts of gratitude, we thank you for the sacrifice of your Son who has become our Lord, our lovely Jesus Christ. Lord, I think all who are here know you as Savior. Maybe there is one who doesn't, but Lord, our hearts of gratitude just express with the greatest and fullest amount that we can our thanks to you. We pray that this new year, 2023, will be a year of spiritual suntanning, that we will gain so much by being exposed as an entire body to the Word, that we will end this year, if you do tarry, in a way that has seen much, much growth. So bless our church as we read through the Bible in a year and or memorize the book of Colossians, as we Some of us memorize a topical group of verses, kind of all centered around a theme, one per month. Or as some of us read a book that discusses some aspect of Christianity per month, Lord, we pray that the spiritual challenges that we receive will be used by you to grow us spiritually. May this be a great year of growth for all of us. We want to thank you that some who are ill are back, and then, Lord, we have others who are now ill who are out. We pray for them. We pray for those who are traveling, and we pray most particularly for the wonderful time that the Mason family is having, even right now, at the installation service for Noah and Hannah. We're thankful for the new little baby from this past week, but we also thank you for this service. And so right now, for those elders in this their church there in Hingham, give them just godly words of wisdom to share with Noah and the congregation. We pray that Noah and Hannah will be just readily accepted by not just the adults, but by the teens to whom he ministers. And as he told me, Lord, our youth group is just so solid, and theirs needs greater help. And so we pray for those teens that Noah and Hannah will have an impact on them, and that your word through Noah and Hannah will bring change and blessing, unity to their group, and salvation to those who are teens and don't know you yet. We also pray for the Signs of Life retreat coming up in, a month, that will be a blessing for ours and other youth groups in the network of churches that we participate with. So, Lord, help Eric Mock and all those who are involved in the planning of the events to bring it all together. And, Lord, we pray for, most importantly, the spiritual impact that our young people will receive. We think of Justin, who has visited our church a few times and has been battling with pneumonia since December 21st and has now gotten so bad off that he's had to go to the hospital. So, Lord, we pray for his health, both physically and spiritually, that you will bring him back to physical health and work your gospel into his life spiritually. We think of our dear friend Steve for his nieces and nephews and other members of his extended family. We pray for their salvation, and for Steve as he desires to share Christ with them, that you will give him both the wisdom and tact to know how and when, and then also the boldness to, in fact, share the Lord. And with his wife, Darla, a woman who I know he loves and is concerned about, but yet who does not know you, we pray for that hardness of heart that she currently possesses, that in whatever way you discern best, you know, Lord, ways that we have no clue about. Your ways are higher than ours, and your wisdom and knowing how to deal with a person is so beyond ours that there's no comparison. So we pray that you will use whatever means you think necessary to bring her to a point where she is needy, broken, and willing to accept what Jesus has offered to her and is still offering to her as a free gift. Then we pray for David and Danielle. They have still problems physically from the motorcycle accident. We pray for healing for David and his two girls. We also pray for their schedule, as it's been a bit topsy-turvy since this accident. Problems with pain and then trying to take care of things when they're healing. the homeschooling, the business, getting permissions from the government, issue of mountain culture and then language learning, as well as being there in an extremely hot climate with people who aren't exactly hostile, but who are curious and cautious with them. So, Lord, we pray that you will open doors of ministry for them, open hearts, and found a church through this dear couple and through their efforts. Lord, it's not them, it is you. And we pray that you will powerfully work through these that we support financially and in prayer. And finally, we pray for this young boy. We don't know his name, or at least I don't, but a 16-year-old who was assaulted just for identifying himself with Jesus. Just the claim of being a Christian caused a small gang of young men to begin to beat him and to hit him so hard that his tooth was knocked up into his gum. Painful, unbelievably, and sad. But yet, it is that very persecution that keeps the church there in Turkey pure. And perhaps it's coming our way someday too, Lord. Seems like it is. Perhaps the church in America needs it, but we pray for the church in Turkey and this boy that you will encourage rather than allow discouragement to set in because of this attack. And we pray that this boy will be ever so much stronger in his faith through this trial. Grow him and sustain him and his parents and this church. Lord, whatever city it's in, we pray for fruit as a result of this persecution. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Use John and in his song leading, and then me in the preaching to bring honor to yourself. Glorify your name today. We pray in Jesus, through him. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I tell you, sometimes a week is too long, just too long. There's something about corporate worship that just builds me up, and I hope you guys too. I just want to share one thing. There are approximately 1,050 commands in the Bible, in the New Testament. And Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. I'm going to share five with you, just five. Number one, husbands, love and honor your wives. Children, obey and honor your parents. Christian, love your neighbor. Christian, love your enemy and pray for your enemy. Christian, speak evil of nobody. Okay, six. Christian, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If you love me, you will keep my commands. Let us use this time now and be determined in our hearts to love and to worship God, to honor him corporately, to glorify him, to sing praises to his name, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let's stand and sing In Christ Alone. Thank you. Next, we'll be singing His Mercy Is More. I trust that new song, by the end of the year, we will be bellowing that louder than ever. Let us turn to the next song, We Will Glorify God. You may be seated. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, you've said that if we ask anything in your name, anything that is according to your will, your promise to us is you will answer. Father God, you've also said the prayers of the righteous avail much. So I call upon that inherited righteousness from Christ that you impart into every believer here, and I ask you to hear our prayer. Father God, the world is marred in sin, and it's all around us, and we can feel the heaviness of that. But often we pray, thy kingdom come, and this is part of that, that the world may get a little bit dimmer before it gets brighter and your glory comes for eternity. Father God, I call for repentance in every believer's heart. We are called to repent daily, hourly, whatever it takes, some big repentance, some little repentance. But I ask you, Lord, to give us a heart of repentance. This is for you to grant us. And Father God, if there's any conviction in the hearts of any believer here, I would pray, Lord, that you would grant us repentance. Father God, stir in us a first love like we had when we first believed. Father God, this is a new year. You are not caught in a framework of time, but we are. And let us, Father God, write January 1st, 2023, that you did a new thing in us as individuals and as a church. Father God, give us a new heart. Let us be obedient to your word. Walk obediently, because it's through obedience that joy comes. And let us understand that, Lord, and strive for love. Strive to love one another. Help us, Lord, open our eyes to love. Help us to see the hurting. Help us to see those that are in pain. Help us to just see those that need love. And Father God, all of this in love. Give us that spirit of love and a compassion for the loss. There are many out there, my sons, my children, other relatives out there, Steve's wife. Give us a compassion, Lord, a true, genuine compassion. Give us a revival in this church, Lord, a true and genuine revival, one that is lasting and one that is real and one that has your power in it, not man's power, but your power, Lord, we call upon these things. So as we give our offering to you, Lord, let us not just offer our money. Let us offer our lives, our spirit, our souls, everything. Let us offer our whole body to you, God, for you are worth it. We are called to glorify you. Let us do that this year, Lord, and let us walk and advance into your glory. Father God, I pray your anointing be on Pastor Kurt as he preaches today in a way that marvels us, that we sit there and we listen to say the hand of God is here in this church, that we may even grab the attention of angels that are occupied elsewhere and say, look at what's going on in that church. Oh, Father God, may your mercy and your grace be in us and through us and act among us. I pray in our Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you. Today's scripture reading is Psalms chapter 4. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who will say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety.
Thank you, brother. Next song we will sing is How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
You may be seated. It's always good to have a fresh start, right? New year. And how could we start the new year off any better than focusing on God's word? I like the quote that is on the top of your handout. This is from one of my favorite writers. His name is D.A. Carson, Donald Carson. And Don writes this, "Where there is no passion for the Word of God, other passions take over." And we know that to be true, don't we? Experientially, we know what happens when we have a cooler spiritual time in our lives. The passions of life, the other pursuits of life become greater and take up more of our thought processes and the time and activities that we do. But when we really have a passion for God's word, it's when we feel spiritually the best. So it was through prompting from Brad and then a few others in the church when I was preaching from Leviticus 24. They said, man, that, you know, it was really helpful, that idea of getting a spiritual suntan, of being exposed to the word. You know, wouldn't it be helpful if we, you know, did something for the whole church that would bring them together and, you know, have groups with camaraderie and accountability for being in the word and studying it. And so from just that little bit of prompting, I thought, you know what, let's do that for our theme for 2023, and let's make it very practical and offer some different ways that people in our church can, with others in small groups, become more acquainted with what the scriptures teach and be exposed to its teaching. So I want to just repeat briefly what the concept is. Okay, so we're talking about getting a spiritual suntan. It's not something that I've created. It's the idea that you get from Leviticus 24 in the tabernacle that Moses and the children of Israel built for the Lord so that they could meet with the Lord without being zapped to death for their sin, so that God could be hidden behind the veil, so that his holiness and their sin didn't cause them immediate death. They built this to spec, exactly the way that God revealed. They had to come into the courtyard, and there were some different utensils there, and then they had to go through the first curtain of the tabernacle, the priests did, into the holy place. And it's in the holy place where we see, if you were to walk in your mind visually with me, we see on, well, I'll do it this way, on the left side we see the golden candelabra, the menorah, seven branches on this golden huge candlestick. And then on the right side, we see the table, a golden table. And on that table, there are 12 loaves of bread, two stacks, six loaves each. And then directly in front of us, we see the altar of incense. The priests would burn incense on it, and the smell of that incense, picturing prayer, would waft through the very thick curtain into the very presence of God as he was manifesting himself inside of the Holy of Holies. Now, leaving the Holy of Holies, coming back into the holy place, on the left side is the golden candelabra, on the right side is the table of showbread. The priests in the book of Numbers were told that they should aim. Now, how they aimed the golden candlestick is a matter of debate. I don't know. No one really knows exactly how were the seven candles articulated, or was there actually a shiny back piece behind the flame that caused the light to, even in a greater way, refract and aim toward the table of showbread? We don't know, but somehow they were to aim the light from that lamp onto that table that held the 12 loaves. Each one of those loaves representing God's people, representing one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And the picture that the Israelites were to take away, and us were to take away from that, is that just as they needed exposure to God and his word, the light of his word, so we need exposure to it as well. That's the theme this year, getting a spiritual suntan. So practically speaking, you know, what are we going to do to encourage each of us to be in the word this year? We are offering, and there are sign-up sheets on that back information center area, we're offering four different ways to encourage you to join a group have camaraderie and accountability in one of the following four ways. First, there will be a group led by Brad that is going to read through the Bible this year. Okay, and I know there are at least 18 men who are going to be participating in that. I don't know how many ladies ultimately will be joining that, but I want to encourage you, if you have never read through the Bible in a year or at all in your life, please consider signing up on that sheet and getting encouragement to go through the Bible. Reading through the Bible in a year is going to open your horizons. It's going to help you to understand how the very purpose of God in writing the, having the scriptures written, all fits together. You'll see Christ through the scriptures. You'll see the plans and purposes of God. They'll begin to unfold. And I'm not going to lie to you, you'll get to portions of God's word like the major and minor prophets. And there'll be some really tough slogging. You'll be like, oh, I don't understand what that means, what's going on. And unless you take extra time to buy a commentary or get some help, maybe go online, and then do some extra reading, there'll be some of those portions that'll still be confusing to you. But if you get a good study Bible, and there are several good study Bibles out there, that will help. You can read those notes. But reading through the Bible in a year, if you've not done it before, let me encourage you to take advantage of this. Brad will meet four times, once each quarter, at the end of the quarter, just a brief meeting. Maybe it'll be after the service. You can sit up in the front here and talk it through, but he'll lead four times in this year, just a time of discussion about the reading of the Word. And then at the end of the year, we will acknowledge those who have completed that reading. Second group is going to be memorizing 12 selected passages of Scripture. On the back, in the lobby there, on the counter, there is a sheet. It's a single sheet with all the verses already printed out. If you'd like to consider memorizing those verses in our little group, then pick one of those up. We will meet four times this year, and I'll lead that. Again, probably just meet up front or maybe in the back after a service just briefly. But we'll meet to talk about those verses and to see how everyone in our group is doing. Our third group is going to be memorizing the entire book of Colossians. The book of Colossians is such, all books of Scripture are rich. This book is so rich and so dripping with application and deep theology that is understandable, that anybody who does take the time to memorize all four chapters, I think at the end of this year is going to look back on how God used his word in their hearts with great fondness. You will not come away memorizing the book of Colossians the same. I looked on the sheet this morning, and when I first walked in, and maybe someone else has already signed up, there were already five people in our church who are signed up to memorize the book of Colossians. So encourage you to do that. And then the fourth group, finally, I'll lead this group. We'll be meeting monthly, and this is going to be a group that is going to read through a Christian book per month. Okay, now exactly when we're going to meet and how we're going to organize that, I don't quite know yet. I've got to talk with those who are in our group who sign up to see what a good time will be. Probably it'll be somewhere in the Sunday morning realm, but we'll find out. So there are two things you can do if you want to read a Christian book per month. One, you can read whatever book you want to. Okay, you can still with the friendship and fellowship that we'll have in our group, I think it'll be encouraging. So you don't have to read the assigned book. You can pick a different book. But I actually chose 13 different books. I doubt that our little group will read every one of them, but I selected 13 books already. They're sitting on my desk If you want to go look at them, if you're interested in being a part of our group, check those out. And we'll just discuss as our in a group which ones we want to do. So like Karen's a part of this group and Yvonne's a part of this group. So the three of us and the others who are on the sheet, I don't know who else signed up. I know some others have. We'll look at these books, and together we'll select the 12 that we want to do. And then at the somewhere near the end of each month, we'll get together and we'll just discuss those books. So the first book we're going to do is a history and theology of the Septuagint. No, I'm just teasing. All right. No, it's not books like that. I said that purposely just to goad you. No, it's not books like that. In fact, I don't want us to read books that are really weighty and heavy slogging. Instead, the books that I've selected for possibilities are really helpful. They're practical. Mostly they're smaller books. They're not great big 500,000-600,000 page tomes. They're, you know, in the 100-200 page range, something like that. And I think if you look at those, you'll just be like, whoa, I didn't even know that book existed. This is exactly what I need in my walk with the Lord. So consider joining our group. All right, hopefully I made that clear. You can either read the same books that our group chooses, or you can read your own. But either way, this will be a way to grow spiritually. Now, as long as we're talking about the Word in 2023, I thought I would share with you my plans for the 2023 preaching schedule. So as a pastor who used to teach budding pastors, young men who were interested in ministry, I always encourage them, look, at the beginning, actually before the beginning of the year, but, you know, somewhere October, November, December of the last year, as you're looking forward to the new year, make a preaching schedule. Try to plan out as best as you can what you believe the Lord is going to have you do in all of the services that you'll speak in through the year. The reason that's so beneficial is because the pastor needs to be preparing for a new series way before he begins to preach it. I can't start a new series in the Scripture without having invested hundreds of hours. The reading I was doing last night to ring in the new year was to prepare for a new series in 2023, and I've been working on this. I'll tell you in a moment what it is, because I've been working on it secretly. Only my family knows what book it is, okay? So try to, you know, raise the anticipation level up a little bit. But, I mean, I couldn't get enough of this book, and I can't wait to preach it here soon. But here's what we're going to do in 2023, the Lord willing. First, I want to finish the book of Leviticus. We only have one more sermon left on the last two chapters of Leviticus, and we will finish that next Sunday. And then, second, I want to also finish the rest of the Pentateuch, and I've already stated that I'm thinking it'll be about six sermons as a summary of the book of Numbers, and then six more as a summary of the six sections of the book of Deuteronomy. But for those of you who have done a lot of speaking, and maybe that's not a lot of us, but for those of us who have, you know when you're wrestling in your spirit about something. Not saying that the Lord's talking to me, but you know what I mean when you say, what I say, you know, sometimes you just wrestle in your spirit. Is this what God's people need in the near term? And I've been wrestling about, should I preach the series through Numbers and Deuteronomy on Sunday mornings? And I've concluded that Sunday mornings, we need to get back to the New Testament. Okay, we need to get back to, more specifically, I think we need to be in the Pauline letters for the new series. So what we're going to do is on Sunday nights, after we finish the introduction to the Gospels, which we've been doing for many months on Sunday nights, Once we finish that, and there's either one or maybe two Sunday nights, third Sundays of the month left for that, then we're going to take those third Sundays of the month and do the Numbers and Deuteronomy books. So I'm going to shift the time of completing the Pentateuch from Sunday mornings to that third Sunday night. So that'll take us basically the rest of this year to do that. But that's going to then allow us and allow me to get back to, as a church, the New Testament. You know, I want to be in different genres of Scripture. I don't want to always preach the exact same genre. I mean, you've got law, you have narrative, you have didactic material, you have gospels, you have history, you have prophecy. There's so many different genres. I don't want to be in any one of them for too long just because you want to preach the whole counsel, the whole of the Word of God. And so we're going to be back in the Pauline letters. And it's been a while since we preached through Philippians. And so I'm going to bring us back to Paul. Now, I have been working through what Pauline book should we tackle. And I've thought about different ones, and I've mentioned to you the possibility of Colossians, but I have been working on a different Pauline book, and it's the one that we're going to do. It's actually a book that I have never heard a preacher cover. So that's going to be like, ooh, you know, what book of Paul have you never in almost 40 years of going to church, I have never heard a series on this book. You say, what, Philemon? No, it's not Philemon, okay? I actually have never heard one on that either. But I have never heard a series on the book of 2 Corinthians. Never. And I don't know why, you know, and I know, you know, we used to teach it up at Northland, so I never have, but, you know, others had taught it up there, but I've never heard anyone do it. So I thought, okay, let me just start doing some spade work in the book, start playing with it is the way I would, you know, talk about it, and see, does this book have the kind of content and application that our church needs right now? That's what I really wanted. What does our church need now? And in order for a pastor to make a decision like that, he and the elders, they need to have the finger on the pulse of the church, need to know what's going on in people's lives. And I really believe that what is in 2 Corinthians is what our church needs. So I've been working on a preaching schedule, and right now I have 35 sermons. So I only get through about 40 sermons in a year. You say, what? You know, there are 52 weeks. Yeah, but, you know, 3 or 4 weeks at Christmas, 2 weeks at Easter. It doesn't seem like much, but you start, you know, taking those out, and pretty soon you're down to about 40, 42, something like that. So I might get in 45 or so in a series on Sunday mornings in a year. But we'll be able to complete, I believe, the entire book of 2 Corinthians this year and still have a little bit of time left over. Maybe after that we'll dig into Colossians, because I've been working in that book too. I'm not sure, but I'm really eager to begin in what? 2 weeks? 2 to 3 weeks to begin the book of 2 Corinthians. Our theme this year is getting a spiritual suntan. I want to talk to you about the benefits of gaining exposure to God's Word. There are all kinds of different ways I could, you know, preach this New Year's Day message. In fact, I worked on some different ones, but I thought, you know what? The book of James is so centered on James chapter 1, verse 18, let me read it to you. Of his own will, he, God, brought us forth by the word of truth. The word of truth. The word there, talking about the Bible, is is like a hub, and the parts of the book of James protrude out from that hub like spokes on a wheel. Okay, so think of the 1970s bicycles, you know, that us old people used to ride. Think of all those spokes. The book of James, like a bunch of spokes, emanates out of that concept of God's word. And I think when you look through James, you see all the benefits that the word of God brings. Exposure to the word gives you, in the book of James, at least 15 benefits. And by the way, the greatest benefits are that our hearts will be in love with the Lord. That's part of what I'll say. But, you know, it's to honor the Lord and to grow our faith and so forth. But the exposure to the word, there are so many different things. 15 is just the beginning of a list. There, if we took the entire Bible and went through and looked for benefits from studying the word, the list would easily surpass 100 benefits from studying it, easily. But here are 15 of them. I don't know if we'll get through them all. That's not my goal. My goal is just to begin to help you to see what the benefits of studying the word are. Look, if you compare, as James does, the double-souled man, the man who is struggling with the battle that Paul in Galatians 5 talks about, the old nature and the new nature, the old man, new man, you know, that battle. You see this battle in James between the new man and the old man, that double-souled nature, the word and the flesh. Listen to this list of things that describe the battle, and I've adapted this from someone else, so it's not all original with me. But here's what the word does, and here's what the flesh does. You know, when you study the word, it stills your soul, whereas the flesh rushes you. The word leads you. The flesh pushes you. The word reassures you. The flesh frightens you. The word enlightens you. The flesh confuses you. The word encourages you. The flesh discourages you. The word comforts you. The flesh worries you. The word calms you. The flesh obsesses you. Causes you to obsess. The word convicts you, and the flesh condemns you. We need God's word. There are 15 benefits of studying the word, and the first of those, from James 1:3, has to do with faith. When you study the word, according to James 1, your faith will be strengthened. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. All of us have tests, trials that we are currently experiencing. Some of us have little tiny baby ones. And there are others who have great big giant ones. There's one, and very few people in our church even know about it. In fact, there may only be two others in our church who even know about this. But one of the people in our church is experiencing a massive mountain trial. Huge. Painful beyond what I could even fully describe. I'm not at liberty to share with you what that is. But I know about that. Okay? And I know that there are others here who are experiencing trials, maybe not as severe, so though some may be there or close, but there are people in our church who are experiencing excruciating emotional and spiritual pain right now. You go to the Word, and one of its benefits of being exposed to it, constantly exposed to the Word, getting a spiritual suntan because you're so exposed to it, one of those benefits is that your faith will be strengthened during times of trial rather than wavering during times of trial. Second benefit of the Word, your wisdom will increase. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, what's the context here? The context is trials. Whoa, you know, you get buffeted by a storm of trial, and what's the first thing that you're trying to do? Figure out, okay, whoa, what's my next step? You know, we read books, we go seek counsel from others, and those are good things, right? We go to God's Word. What does God say, you know, we should do when we are buffeted by the pressures of life? It's to ask Him for wisdom. Where do we get that wisdom? Chapter 1, verse 18, connected with chapter 1, verse 5 in context, we get that wisdom from God. That is from His Word. Your wisdom, that is your ability to navigate life. And even if you aren't going through trials, just some of the questions, the bigger important topics of life that you have to work through. The Word of God provides that wisdom. Why not be exposed all year long this year to the Word so that you come out, you know, with a nice dark tan, spiritually speaking? Third benefit of studying the Word is that your contentment in life will improve. Are you discontent with where God has you? Do you wish that you could change some big thing in your life, or maybe many little things in your life, or a combination of the two? Your contentment in life will improve as you are exposed to His Word. Look at James 1, verse 9. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation and the rich in his humiliation. Whatever your situation in life, and in James, the context here is one where people, because of persecution, have been forced to leave Jerusalem, and they have now, many of them, taken jobs that are paying very, very low wages. And so some of them are struggling deeply, and they're looking at their friends who also had to leave Jerusalem, who aren't struggling financially and doing well, and saying, God, why? What gives? Why do I have to struggle like this and this guy doesn't? And what James is saying here in verses 9 through 11 is, look, be content with where you are and what you have and the place that I've put you. How do you gain that kind of contentment? So that whatever state you're in, you will be at rest. You only find that contentment spiritually through God and His Word and in prayer. So your contentment in life will improve as your spiritual suntan deepens. Fourth way that we benefit from the Word is that in verse 12 of chapter 1, our mission in life becomes so much more clear. You know, I don't know if you've done any swimming when you were maybe young and you opened your eyes under the water. Some pools you can really see really clearly. In others, there's, I don't know if it's chlorine or what it is, but you can't see as well. I don't know if you've ever swam in the ocean. I wouldn't try opening your eyes there. I've been splashed by salt water and it's really painful. But, you know, when you're in fresh water, and I you know, grew up right next to the Mississippi. You know, you open your eyes under the water of the Mississippi, and it, I don't care how much chlorine there is in a pool, it is not as murky as the Mississippi waters are. You cannot see your hand in the Mississippi, at least most of the year, more than about 12 inches under the water. It's that dark and murky. So, you know, when you look at life and why we're here and why we're living it, the cares of this life can so quickly add up and surround us and become such a dominant part of our thinking that we fail to see what it is that God has for us. It's as if We're not swimming in a pool and opening our eyes, where everything is clear and visible, but it's as if we're swimming in the Mississippi and we open our eyes and we could just see our hand just a few inches in front of our face. This is what God's word does. It clears the waters. It purifies them. That is, by metaphor, speaking of our mission in life, the way we think about what God is doing. Verse 12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. What will a focus on God's word do? It will help to take our unclear, muddy focus on the things of this world and the cares of this world. It'll help to clear that up and show us the bigger picture, the greater picture, the vastly more important thing, which is not the things of this world, Colossians 2 and 3, but instead, it's the focus on things above, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 in Colossians. The Word of God, as we get a deepening suntan, spiritually speaking, will make our mission in life clear. Fifth benefit of studying the Word is that your resolve to reject temptation will rise. Your resolve will rise. The spiritual strength that will emanate through your spiritual muscles as you study the Word of God will improve. Now look, an unsaved person can study the Word of God. It's not going to help him or her to reject temptation, right? James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15 is very much connected with verse 18 and then verses 19 through 25. If you hear the Word only, I mean, you can read the Word, go through the Bible in a year, you can read a Christian book per month, you can memorize the 12 verses or passages that are on the list. You can do all of those things. You can sign up for all four, and you could still come away at the end of 2023, just like miserable in your soul, if you're a hearer only and not a doer. But for those who are committed to the Lord there's no good thing in the flesh. You're not going to be able to grow and reject temptation of the flesh. You're toast. You're gone. It's already over. The battle is already lost. If you think that it's our efforts in the flesh that are going to allow us to overcome. But man, when you read James chapter 1 verses 13 through 15 about temptation and about the allurement of sin, lured and enticed by our own desires, our own affections. That the Word of God provides the strength that we need to, if we're doers of the Word, to reject the temptations. It'll improve our resolve to reject the temptations of life to sin in all kinds of different ways. Sixth benefit of getting a spiritual suntan in 2023 is that your life will be blessed. I used to wonder, is that really a good prayer to pray, God, will you bless me? Just generically. And you know what? I don't know how many years ago this was, but I started realizing that you find that very prayer all through the scripture. Okay? Blessed. Without qualifiers. Sometimes it has qualifiers, blessed in a certain way, and other times it's just generic. It is good and it is right to want to have God's blessing upon the whole of your life. Well, what is the greatest way to have God's blessing? It doesn't mean you'll escape all trial. It doesn't mean everything's going to be good. That is not what God's word says. Okay, I'm not going to try to become a peddler of the word, 2 Corinthians. I was just reading a commentary on that last night. Anyway, I'm not a peddler of the word. I'm not going to, play with the weights. That's the idea behind 2 Corinthians chapter 2, is there are some preachers who are going to play with the weights. In other words, they're peddlers. They're people who are selling things, but they'll shave off some of the weight so that it's to their advantage. In other words, toying with the word or withholding things from the word to make things sound good and more acceptable, to make the cross look better. I'm not here to tell you that the cross is going to go away in your life. There is going to be suffering. In fact, if you're doing God's will, there will be suffering, Jesus says, in different ways for different people. But it is right, even in the midst of whatever is happening, to pray for God's blessing. And the greatest blessing of all comes, look, it's embedded right here in the passage, from studying the word. Spiritual suntan. Seventh benefit of being exposed throughout this year to God's word is that, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, your judgmentalism of others will shrink. All of us, if we are honest with ourselves, know that we regularly, daily maybe, judge others unfairly. It is so natural to our flesh to make snap, quick judgments, to look at our strengths and look at someone else's weakness and say, ha, it's too bad he's not like me, or she's not like me. It's really easy to judge people. That is a problem that Jesus, in his first big Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, dealt with extensively as judgmentalism. Loving people and getting along with people, a lot of it comes when our pride dissolves, not completely, I wish it did, right? But when our pride shrinks and our love for others increases, exposure to God's word will help in that, with that sin of judgmentalism. An eighth way that God's word and being exposed to it every day throughout this year will benefit you is in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, concerning about your concern for others. That section, which it goes all the way through 2:24, describes the concern that we should have for others' needs. So there are people in our church who have the spiritual gift of helps. For them, it is just so natural to want to meet other people's needs. That is just what God, it's how God constructed them and how he has spiritually blessed them. Okay, the gift of helps. I am not that guy. Now, I think God should grow all of us in all of the different giftedness, but I'm not, especially when I was newly saved, I was all about me. I've been saved almost 40 years now. I was all about me, even after I was first saved. Okay, I had a burden for the lost in a big way, but I mean, I didn't realize how stinking selfish I was, and I still am, and God's been rooting that out, and it's going to take him until I die and get to heaven before it's all gone, right? But that selfishness and lack of concern isn't natural for me. It's only comes supernaturally. Well, our desire to help others' needs, if you're like me, if you're not one who has the gift of help, if you have the gift of helps, now you're being judgmental, right? You're like, Pastor Kurt, you're not very good. And you're like, oh, it's just so easy. Yeah, easy for you. But really, that love and concern for others, in their physical needs especially, that will grow as you get a spiritual suntan. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 12 in James. The ninth benefit of studying the word is that your heart will be cleansed. You say, that's a section on the tongue. Yep, it sure is. About how we talk, but what does Jesus say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what does James do in verses 9 through 12? He talks about the source of our words. What is the source of our words? It's the heart. No spring produces both salt water and fresh. A fig tree doesn't give off grapes or produce grapes. And yet our hearts, out of our hearts, comes both good and evil. And our speech, our tongue, only is reflective of what is actually going on in the inside. So if you say, oh, I didn't mean to say that, yes, you did. Well, you didn't want to say it maybe, but that is the product of what is in your soul. So having your speech improve is really the result of having the heart cleansed. And how is the heart cleansed? It is cleansed through exposure repeatedly, regularly, day by day to the Word. I don't have time to describe all this, but you know, in Psalm 119, the psalmist talks about being in the Word, and if you read through the whole thing, and it's 176 verses, so it takes a bit, but if you read through that longest chapter in the Bible, you'll find that the psalmist describes being in the Word at 7 different points in the day, from early morning until just as he's going to bed. Wow. What if we, even if it was just for a moment, in an afternoon, flip out our little memory verse card or on your phone or whatever. Just exposure to the Word 7 times. I'm not saying, you know, there's no, I'm not saying, hey, you got to do it 7 times or 3 times or I'm not up here doing that. I'm just saying, think about what it would do if you were exposed to the Word every day, all year long, 7 times a day through 2023. Oh, man. The suntan you'd come, in other words, what would happen to your soul would be so magnificent, so honoring to Christ. I'm done. Okay, I didn't get to finish this, but there's so much more, and really, even this list of 15 things from James could have gone on. I could have doubled that easily. I just selected some portions. That's just one book. Whether it's reading through the Bible in a year, memorizing the topical list with a group I'll lead, whether it's reading a Christian book a year or memorizing the entire book of Colossians. And by the way, if you would like to do a different spiritual pursuit that isn't one of those four, let us know. We'll create another list. We had another list. I don't think any. I guess I didn't look. I don't think anyone lists anything else. But let us know. I mean, if you really do want to read a history of the Septuagint, you know, we'll create a group just for you, and you might be the only one. But anyway, we would love for you to participate. Not mandatory. And it's not, you know, big huge pat on the shoulder at the end of the year if you did all the things. I mean, we are gonna mention it, but I want us to encourage one another. I don't want us to be about me. It's not about me. It's encouraging all of us to be exposed to God's Word in this great new year of 2023. I hope that whether you sign up for one of the groups or not, or multiple of the groups, that you will make this a special year of spending quality and quantity time with our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we have a great privilege to possess your word. Under communism and yesterday as well as today, there are some churches of hundreds of people that only have one copy of the Bible. And in some cases, they may only have one page or one chapter or one book of the Bible. There are some in North Korea right now who would give their left arm if they could possess just one copy of the entirety of the scriptures. There are believers in many countries around the world who cannot obtain your word. We have an incredible country in which we live, founded on your word. We have such freedom and wealth that we could buy 10 Bibles and it would hardly make a dent in our bank account. Lord, we have probably one up to 25 different copies of the scripture sitting in our homes. And sometimes we maybe don't, probably don't, stop to even consider what an incredible privilege it is to possess so many copies of the scripture and great books about the scriptures. So may this year be a special year for all of us. And for some, it's just normal to be in the Word regularly, but for others here, it's not. And for them especially, teach them the benefits and the joy of a life well lived with purpose and mission, of a life in your Word. May the television and the distractions of life, the games that we play and the hobbies we have and the other pursuits, may those things recede some, and may the joy and focus that we have in your word increase this year. Bless our church, Lord. This isn't just a prayer that I pray at the end, Lord. Please bless our dear people this year with a vast amount of time exposed to your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Have we not been blessed by God? Amen. So, starting my new year off, there's a piece of humility. I cannot find my spot in here, so I'm hoping it's back there on here. So we're going to be singing, "Lord, I Lift Your Name on High." Please stand, and as we finish, you will be dismissed. Thank you. You are dismissed.